Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank God for the past 5 months. Here we are in the sixth month, first Sunday. So just need to praise and thank God for yet again another Lord's Day in our lives. Now we've been looking at this topic called wilderness experience, or rather God's purpose in wilderness. God's purpose in wilderness. There are many lessons, or rather there are many things that God teaches us or we learn when we are going through wilderness. It's very important that we need to understand that God has to lead us into the wilderness, like how we see in the life of Christ. You know, he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness for a greater purpose, and then he began his ministry. So last time we have seen, I told about seven different things that we need to go through, or rather we learn in the wilderness. The first was purpose, God's purpose in the wilderness. And the second one was promise. The third one was protection. Number four was God's presence in the wilderness. Number five was God's provision in the wilderness. And number six, it's possess, and number seven is prosper. God is going to prosper. So we have looked at this chapter. Let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We are just looking at this chapter. So in this chapter, All the seven things that I have said: purpose, promise, protection, presence, provision, possess, prosper, are from this chapter. So we'll try to go further this morning. So last time we have seen God's purpose. What is God's purpose for each one of us? Or rather, here we learn what Israelites, or the people of God, what God's purpose was for them, and we can learn few lessons from that. So we have seen, just a quick recap, we have seen God will test us in the wilderness, and we have seen seven different things. God is going to test your faith, God is going to test our faith, and he will let us go through the fire. He will test us through trials, and he will refine us. That's the purpose, and that's the process of testing. Number three, we have seen he will test us whether we will obey him or not, whether we will obey him or not, because many a times there comes a situation, a circumstance, where either we can, you know, compromise in that situation, or rather we obey. So God will test us in those areas. And number four, we have seen whether we would fear God. God will test us whether we would fear him in certain matters. And number five, we have seen whether God will test us whether we would love God at all times. Love God at all times with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. And number six, he's going to test our heart and also our mind. And number seven, David's prayer that we have seen, his prayer was, Lord, test me if there is any anxious thoughts in me. Test to know. So that is also a kind of a test that God was going to test us. So that's the testing part. And number two, God's purpose in the wilderness was he reveals himself unto us. He reveals himself unto us. We have seen that in Exodus chapter 33, verses 11 and verse 22. And number three, we have seen that God's supernatural work. We can see God's supernatural work in the wilderness. And number four, God will make us to depend upon Him. The whole purpose of wilderness experience is God will enable us to depend upon Him rather than people or rather than our own intellect. And number five, we understand God's ways. Number five, we understand God's dealings, how He deals, how He responds in each and every situation. So we learn how God deals with us and in different ways. Number six, we have seen God will, the purpose of the wilderness is God will teach us war. God will teach us war. We have seen that we need to battle. We need to have that war on our knees. Though Israelites were doing the physical battle, but we are, as new covenant believers, we need to have that spiritual battle on our knees. And number seven, the purpose of God's taking us through the wilderness is God is going to discipline you and me. God is going to discipline us because we are our children. He is our Father and He's going to discipline us. So that's the whole purpose. That's the whole purpose of God taking us through the wilderness. That's number one we have seen. That's the purpose. And this morning, we'll try to see the second one, and if time permits, we'll try to see the third lesson as well. Number two is God's promise. God's promise. So we'll turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. So God's promise is for them to give that promised land. To give them the promised land. In Hebrew, the word promise is called Havtaka. How you spell it is Havtachah. The Hebrew word for promise is called Havtaka. You can just make a note of this. So in general terms, promise is a pledge or a word given agreed between two parties. Here we see God, giving that promise to the people of God, to Israel. He is the giver, and the people of God, the Israelites, are the receivers. So in order for God's promise to fulfill in each one of our lives, sometimes God puts some conditions. We need to fulfill those conditions. Only then His promise will be fulfilled. In other circumstances, in other scripture, we see sometimes there is no condition. It's an unconditional promise. So there are two kinds of promises that we can see in the scripture. One is unconditional promise, and number two is the conditional promise. We'll quickly read Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. There it says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him." We'll just see few verses. We also see that in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 11, God is telling, "I will establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood, neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth." We all know this story. And also we see in many other scripture portions, John chapter 16, for instance, John chapter 16, and then verses from 7 to 9. I'll read one of the verses. Here Jesus talks to the disciples and he says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." That's the promise. And we see a few other promises in the scripture. So this is an unconditional promise. There are no strings attached. There are no conditions. It is God giving them the promise. And number two is the conditional promise. Conditional promise, as I said, there are certain conditions. When God gives that promise, gives the word, He says, you have to follow these things, then only my promise will be accomplished. Then only my promise will be accomplished. In Psalm 37, verse 4, we all know this. Verse says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. So the condition here is, we have to delight. We have to delight in the Lord. Then only He will give you the desires of your heart. So when we start delighting in the Lord, He will give the desires, what we desire, that will be according to His will. So when we first start delighting in Him, so automatically our desires will be in alignment with His will. Alignment with His will. You know, some people say that, you know, whatever your heart desires, God will give. That is not the, you know, the understanding here. When you start delighting yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. He is the one who is going to give the desires that is needed for us according to His will. According to His will. So that's the condition. That's the condition. And also in Proverbs, a very similar scripture portion, familiar scripture portion, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. So in all our ways, we need to acknowledge Him. In every situation, we need to acknowledge Him so that God will be, He will make our paths straight. So He will make our paths straight. So one question I would like to just put before you this morning. Why does God need to give the promise? Why do we need God's promise? Just try to carefully understand this. Why does God needs to give us a promise? Give us a promise. Throughout the scripture, we see God speaking to different people at different occasions, at different circumstances. The reason why we need God's promises is because we cannot see God with our naked eyes, right? In the physical realm, we cannot see God. If we see God, we will die. So God is somewhere out there in heaven. Obviously, God is within us. The Spirit of God is within us. We can experience His presence. The reason why we need God's promise, in other words, God's promise is nothing but His word, right? God's promise is nothing but His word. So in order for me to live on this life, to live this life on this earth, I need His word. I need His word. In other words, in John 1 we see the word Himself is nothing but Christ. In the beginning was the word was with, we all know this, the word was with God, the word was God Himself, Christ Himself. So He has to give me that word. I need to receive that word in faith and I have to exercise that word so that I can live my life on this earth through the help of that word. I can rely on that word because His word is never changing. We will see that in scripture portion. His word is never changing. Regardless of the circumstances that we are going through, regardless of the situations that we are in, regardless of the pain that we go through, His word is the same. His word will not change. Our people will change. Situations will change, circumstances will change, but His word never changes. So that is one of the most important thing that God gives the promise, and we need to hold on to that promise. We need to hold on to that promise. That's the reason why we see in the life of Abraham, when God called him, last week we have seen that in the worship message, Genesis 15. God will call him and he will depend upon him. He will take that word and bluntly, without any logics, without any discussion, without any argument, he obeys. He obeys. Abraham obeys and he begins his walk of faith. Begins his walk of faith. In a similar way, as believers, when we receive the word, in other words, when we receive the promise of God, we need to believe. That's the first thing that we need to understand. That's the first thing that we need to understand. Unless and until we believe God's word, regardless of what is happening in our lives, regardless of the circumstances that we are facing, regardless of the pain or whatever it is, we need to receive that word, the promise, and we need to reply. Or in other words, we need to live that life which is the word of God, which is the word of God, which is the word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 7, it says, we are a people who walk by faith, not by sight, not by side. God's promise is nothing but His word. In other words, His character Himself. His character Himself. So we cannot really separate God's word from God Himself. We cannot really separate from God's word and His character. You and I, for instance, we give a word to someone else and we may not do it. We may forget. But God is not the case. In this case, God, when He gives the word, that is Himself. We cannot separate God's promise. We cannot separate God's word from His nature, from His character. That's the reason why it is never changing. That is the reason why it is never changing. So we start by putting our faith, our dependency on God's word. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 1, God says, the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. So that's the promise that God has given to the people of God, the Israelites. And not only that, God's promise speaks of few different things. We'll quickly look into that. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16 and verse 17, I'll quickly read that. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. Verse 17. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to their heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath. Here you see, it's an unchanging word, unchangeableness in ASB translation. So here, when God gives the promise, when God gives the word, it is unchanging. It is unchanging. So God has promised the people of God, the Israelites, the promised land. And it didn't happen straight away. It didn't happen straight away, right? They didn't go to the promised land straight away. So they had to go through the wilderness, and God was with them throughout the wilderness. And at the end, we know only two people entered that promised land. Only two people entered that promised land. So God's promise still prevailed, but all people could not enter the promised land. Only two people. There were few things that, we all know the story. They were grumbling, they were murmuring, and God had to deal with them, and God had to teach them a lesson. And only two people entered that promised land. So one is God's word, God giving that promise, that is accomplished. But on the receiving end, how we really take it is the question. So as I said, God's promise speaks of this unchanging word. It never changes. And not only that, God's promise is a confirmation. It's an affirmation as well. When we are going through tough times, or when you're asking for something, that we need to, if we go to God, He'll speak to us. He might give a word. He will give a promise. Then if you're not sure, when we again go to God, if it is His will, again He'll talk. Continuously He'll talk. It's affirmation, confirmation. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 3. Here we see God continuously, He talks to Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob as well. So in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 3, I think it's an, can someone read that please?
Live for a time in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. But to you, to your descendants, I will give you all this land, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham.
Yeah. So notice that word, I will establish the oath. In NLT translation, it says, I hereby confirm that I will give all these lands to you and your descendants, just I solemnly promised Abraham your father. It's a confirmation. It's an affirmation. I would like to tell you, one example that happened. One of our common friends, Kiran, myself knew. His name is Kiran as well. He's back in India. So he finished his graduation and he was preparing for this bank services exam. He got into bank job as into HBI, and then later on he got engaged and then got married. After I think probably 1 year of his married life, God started talking to him about the ministry, the full-time ministry. He never knew that he gonna be, you know, a full-time, he'll be going into a full-time ministry. God, one day in his daily portion, God spoke to him about, this rich young man, ruler, leave your possessions and follow me. And then again, God was continuously talking to him, but he didn't realize that, you know, God was calling me for his full-time ministry. And then he went to, you know, he and his wife, one day they went to Bangalore to meet a man of God. And that man of God, usually what he will say is, you can do the ministry, but you know, you should not leave a full-time job. You can serve the Lord while doing the job. That's what he usually says. But he and his wife, when they went to visit him, and the moment, you know, they had a conversation, they were talking, and he suddenly said that, you know, God is calling you, maybe God is calling you to full-time ministry, he said. So he and his wife were a bit perplexed, and they were, you know, a bit shocked. Why is he saying like that? And from then onwards, you know, God was talking to them, talking to him and also talking to his wife. And he was a bit scared, he was a bit afraid, because, you know, he got recently got married, and he had some responsibilities, and they were also, you know, praying for their kids as well. So why God is calling me at a very young age? And he was not sure, he was confused. So he went and asked his, you know, his elders, and they prayed over him, and then they also said the same thing, and he was still not convinced. And God continuously was talking to him from the scripture portion in his daily, in his devotions. For example, you know, Matthew 28:20, we all know this. Can someone quickly read this? Matthew 28:20.
Teaching them to follow all that I command you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.
Yep, this is the commission that, you know, we all know this. And in Timothy, God spoke to him about, you know, do the work of an evangelist, do the work of an evangelist. But still, he was, not really convinced. So one day he was so afraid, and he was almost like crying. Why he had this burden? Why God is really talking to me at this stage now? So he, you know, one day what happened? Like after his, I think after working for a year or so, his boss, like the superior boss, is called CGM, Chief General Manager. It is like, you know, the position that he had, if he gets like 20 times promotion, then he can reach that stage. So that boss came, and he was assisting him in different banks, and he was going with him, so he was helping him out. And he noticed him that even though he was in a good position, even though he had a lot of lot of things, and many were coming and then taking help from him, the boss, he noticed one thing in his boss, that he was so miserable, he was so empty. Even though he was at that position, the very high esteemed job, he could notice that his boss was empty, and he was miserable, and he was like, you know, he was not really happy. Then he thought to himself, because his aim was to really grow, and he, in his career, and then he wanted to establish himself. Obviously, it's a bank, state government, I mean, central government, state government bank. So then he thought to himself, is it really God, you know, talking to me something? Then he realized. Then he started asking God, Lord, you show me. If it is really you, you talk to me and also my wife as well. Because they have to come out, right? So God has to talk to his wife as well. Then many, you know, after a few months, he was, praying, and he was asking God. And then one day, after his shift was finished, he was just walking on the road. And this was in Chennai, and because he was posted there. And then he saw a verse, not like a verse, but a statement at the back of a car saying, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. Then he thought to himself, who is my boss? My boss is my manager, or, you know, he is God, he's Christ himself. And then after that, continuously, I think more than 20 times. The reason why I'm telling is, God confirms, God gives that affirmation. God gives that affirmation. He said in his testimony that God spoke to him more than 21 times. More than 21 times from the scripture, mostly from the scripture. So then he had that, he had that peace. He had that peace. Then he wrote a resignation letter and then he just submitted to the authorities. But obviously the authorities didn't respond in a positive way. They rejected his resignation. Then he was asking, Lord, why? Is it not that you are calling me, and why the authorities have rejected? Why the authorities have rejected? Is the manager, usually there will be an exit interview, but his manager didn't even do that, because in his resignation letter, what he mentioned was, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is calling me for a full-time ministry, and then I have to quit this job. So maybe his boss didn't like it, I think. So that's why there was no exit interview as well. Again, he applied for that resignation. So he on July 2015, I just noted down this day because recently I was talking to him. July 2015, he got the relieving date. In 2009, he got this job. He received the appointment letter. He joined in 2009, and in 2015, he got the relieving date. So exactly 6 years. And one day he was going through this his daily portion, and God exactly spoke to him from Exodus chapter 21 and verse 2.
If you buy a slave,
hear it.
You shall serve for 6 years. But instead, you shall go out as a free man without payment.
Yeah. So God exactly spoke to him about this verse. For 6 years, if you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years. But on the seventh, he shall go out as a free man without payment. Then he realized, because exactly he served in the bank for 6 years, and July 2015 was the relieving date. Then he understood. Yes, Lord, now I know. It was completely your will. You were stopping those people to give that resignation, to give that relieving date. On 2015, they gave the relieving date. It was exactly 6 years. So he got that confirmation. He had that complete peace. And after, and at the same time, God was talking to his wife as well. So they were at complete peace. And once they left the job, they came back to Hyderabad. They came to know that his father had some heart issue. Then obviously it's like, he was saying, God was in a way telling him, welcome to the ministry. So they were just praying, Lord, why is this? I know things will be hard, not easy. And God gave them another promise, which is from Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10.
Do not fear, man with you.
Yeah. So he and his wife were, God spoke to him through this promise, and they were praying, and nothing major happened to his dad. Nothing major happened. There was no heart surgery, nothing like that. So they were from that day onwards, they learned to depend on the word of God, the promises of God. In every situation, God was talking to them as a family, and also him in the ministry as well. And I recently was talking to him. He said, "This after I left the job until today, I never even have a single regret in our life. I want to praise and thank God that he called me, because otherwise he would have been, in the SBI, he would have been a manager, I'm not sure." And his batch was the last batch where, the government will be stopping giving pensions. After his batch, the government will not be giving any more pensions. So he had to leave that job. It was really costly for him, and he's serving the Lord for full-time ministry in Hyderabad. So the reason why I told this story is, God, when he calls us, when he gives the word, when we are not sure, he confirms. He gives that affirmation. And it was not really an easy task for him. But he had to rely, he had to give, he had to depend on God for that confirmation. Depend on God for that confirmation, and God really, you know, using him in his will and in his way. So we need to rely on the promises of God. And when we are going through tough times, when we are going through tough situations, the only source of help is God and his word and his promises . So number one is unchanging word. His word never changes. His promises will never change. And number two is affirmation or confirmation of God's promise. And number three is God's word is the promise will give us that source of encouragement. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, we see God of now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we are down, when we are really down, God's word, God's promise will give that source of encouragement. Many times we try to run help, to get some help from people, or we try to use our own intellect. There's nothing wrong, in using God-given wisdom. But our first source of help should be God, God Himself. Then we get that source of encouragement from God's word, rather God's promise. And not only that, God's promise will prevail. God's promise will prevail over our circumstances, or our situations. And we all know, how Jansi and myself were apart almost like 2 years. And before that, many of you don't know that even when she conceived, she went to India, we were apart for almost like 10 months. And when we got married, we were apart for 8 months as well. So altogether, probably 3-4 years, I think, 4 years we were apart. It was not easy. You know, when Jansi conceived Vincent, the reason why she was going to India, because when she'll have the morning sickness, that will be really, really tough. Everything very severely, she'll be like, having that morning sickness. So that's the reason why I had to send her to India. There were her parents were busy as well, and none of her parents couldn't make to Auckland. So 8 months, 10 months, and 2 years. It was not an easy thing. And obviously, COVID hit, and you all know what was happening. So circumstance was getting really tougher and tougher as we were praying. But myself and Jansi was in India. We were praying, and we were individually praying and asking God that He would talk to us. Many times that God spoke to us, and one of the verses that spoke to us at the same time was on the same day from Proverbs.